letting the truth of eternity come to bear on our lives and our actions from day to day. So this is a bit of a continuation from that theme. When I think of life and what the perhaps most important area is in life, if you had to boil it down to what's the most important part of life, what would you come up with? And I would suggest that the most important area of life is our relationships. And this chapter of Romans addresses three relationships in our life. And there's nothing else that is more important. Three relationships. The first is our relationship to the Lord. And that's addressed in the first part of the chapter. Very well known, especially the first part of the chapter, well known verses. The second relationship is our relationship to the saints, which would be the church, born-again believers. And the third is our relationship to the world. I heard some ladies talking a couple weeks ago at our chapel about all of the bulletin boards that are up. And usually there's a group of women that are responsible for putting up something on the bulletin board, whether it's Easter or Christmas or Valentine's or whatever it is, something about what's going on. They decorate these bulletin boards, and they were wondering, or they were discussing what they could do, and I said, well, why don't you put pictures of the saints up? And they're like, you think we should put pictures of the saints up? I said, yeah, that would be great. I mean, when we have a picnic or a covered dish supper, we could have somebody going around taking pictures, and then when people come in, they say, hey, these are the people who come here, and this is them having fun together. And they're like, oh, you're talking about us. I thought you were talking about, like, the saints. I said, well, we are the saints, right? And of course, they came from different religious backgrounds, so when they hear saints, they think of these people that have been sainted. But anyway, right relationships. In verses 1 and 2, Paul addresses our relationship to the Lord. And why don't we... we'll just read the first two verses. He says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. A very powerful couple of verses there. We see that we're to serve with our body. We're to present our bodies a living sacrifice. And I heard someone say that the problem with the living sacrifice is it keeps crawling off the altar. And this is something that is a daily offering of ourselves. Because we are, like the word says, we are like sheep prone to wander. We have to battle the old nature. We have to battle our flesh and continually present ourselves a sacrifice unto God, our bodies. What we do with our hands, the tasks that we go about every day, that we should do that as a living sacrifice. And it says, your reasonable service. Another translation would say, logical form of worship. And this is tied in with this morning. that we're not given the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. In light of the mercies, in light of the mercies of God, in light of what the Lord Jesus has done for us and our position in Him, this is the logical thing for us to do. That it is a reflection of having a sound mind is to present our bodies as a living sacrifice. And we're also to serve with our mind. It says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We're to be transformed by His Word, by this book. And so often, not only young people, but a lot of the times young people, because they're more prone to be going through transitional times in their life. You know, what am I going to do after high school? What after college? What does the Lord want me to do? These types of things. Who should I marry? Should I get married? All of these things, they're wanting to know what the will of God is. And this verse says that if you're transformed by the renewing of your mind, you'll be able to prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We're allowing the Word of God to transform the way that we think, to transform us. And the Lord wants us to serve Him in that way. Thinking about how it is a continual thing. I remember when I was about 19 years old, I came to the place in my life where I thought that, whatever you want, Lord, whatever you want me to do, wherever you want me to go, that's what I want to do. And this verse, these verses, and inspired me, motivated me to come to that conclusion. And but it wasn't a one-time thing. Something that has to be renewed. And I believe the Lord has tested that on different times. I can remember a mentor of mine suggesting that I travel with this preacher who has an itinerant ministry, and he does a week of meetings and several different assemblies. He says, I think that you should go with this brother and you should learn how to do what he does. I think that this is, he didn't use these words, but it's right up your alley. It's where you're gifted. And for whatever reason, I didn't want to do it. And it was kind of confusing to me, because I thought, here I had said, Lord, whatever you want me to do, wherever you want me to go, I'll do it. And then something is suggested to me, and I'm just not, I don't know if I want to do that. And so I prayed about it. I said, Lord, if this is what you want me to do, then I'll do it, but I want to do it with my whole heart. I don't want to do it begrudgingly or because I feel obligated. And He did change my heart about that. I was able to say, okay, if this works out, this is what I want to do. And it turned out that it didn't work out. And looking back, I can see that it's the Lord saying, you think you're ready to do whatever I want you to do, whenever I want you to do it? And then He just puts His finger on this area. It wasn't even like, go to Africa and eat bugs for years. It was something desirable, but I was tested in that. Something that we have to keep renewing, keep that transformation, keep presenting ourselves. And that's our relationship with the Lord as a born-again believer, that walk with Christ. Then we have the relationship to the saints in verses 3 through 16. He says, "For I say through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts, differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil, cling to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love and honor, preferring one another. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits." Now there is admittedly some overlap here between serving the saints and serving the world, but we see, first of all, we should serve with our position, verses 3 through 5. Every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but soberly, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. And it's talking about us being members of one another, members in the body of Christ. You know, Romans chapter 6 tells us, you know, our position spiritually. The moment that we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit places us into Jesus Christ. We are His body. And it says, we are all members, not having the same office. Different functions. So, we being many, verse 5, are one body in Christ, and everyone members of one another. We have different functions. And he goes in and talks about gifts, but sometimes we can think of the different roles that we have and think that this person who's serving in this role, well, they're more important than I am, because they have this huge responsibility, and I just show up and I do this little thing. Well, that's not how the Lord sees it. And we're interconnected. And I remember I used to frame houses, and I hit my finger a few times with a hammer. And one particular time, the boss was away getting some materials, and the rest of us were there framing up walls, and it was clouding up, and one of the new guys looked at these clouds and he says, "All right, guys, looks like it's gonna rain. You know what that means? Going home early." And I was there swinging my hammer. I said, "You know what the Bible says about the man that looks up at the sky and says, 'Rain, rain'?" And right at that time, I slammed my index finger with my hammer, and it just, you know, split my finger open, and I let out a yell, which was very comical, because it sounded like that's what the Bible says about the man who looks up the sky and says, "Rain." But just the very tip of my finger, right? I mean, I don't know what percentage of my body that is, but it's very small. And when you think about the function of the body, walking, sitting, standing, talking, that tip of my finger probably doesn't have that big of a important role. But the moment that finger was hurt, my whole body reacted. It affected everything. I had to stop and wrap some electrical tape around it because I didn't have a first aid kit. And it affected the way that I worked. Man, it was throbbing. It was, oof. Same thing. As the body of Christ, we are one body. And even though someone else has a different function, a different role, a different office, it doesn't mean that they're less important or more important than you. They're just different. Different responsibilities. Same thing with our gifts. It says, every man, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us in verse 6. And it goes through and indicates that whatever that gift is that the Holy Spirit has given you in which you're serving, give yourself to that service. Prophecy according to the proportion of faith, ministry. Let us wait on our ministering. He that teacheth on teaching, he that exhorteth on exhortation, give yourself to that. I mean, that is the point of spiritual gifts. The Holy Spirit has given it to you for you to serve the body, the edifying of the saints. And we're reminded this morning we're supposed to stir up those gifts. Perhaps you may not feel very competent in what others have said your spiritual gift is, which is a great way to find out if you don't know. Many times other people will see those that trait, that quality, that gift in you, and you may not recognize it yourself. And you may say, "What? You really think I have the gift of this thing over here? I don't feel comfortable with that at all." Well, perhaps that needs to be stirred up. Perhaps you need to give yourself to these things. And it's a way for you to serve.